After Buzzers. You're tuned in to the After Buzz SNL After Show. We're going to talk about the finale with Tina Fey and Amy. Nope, not Amy Poehler. Nicki Minaj. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, After Buzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hey, yo. Look like I'm going for a swim.
Oh.
Light the lights.
Yeah.
Do we look like Nicki Minaj?
While I'm coming up on
Kelly, you look exactly like Nicki Minaj.
Thank you.
I think that's why people tune in. They're just like, oh my gosh. But Lita just looks exactly like Nicki Minaj. It's crazy.
Oh, wow. What a great compliment.
Jealous.
Yeah, Nicki ruled. Probably one of the best things of the episode.
100%.
True.
Which is rare, considering I'm not usually into the musical things, but we'll talk about it. But hey, who are you guys?
I'm Elizabeth Alfano. Great to be back. Last show, you can find me on the internet.
I'm Nicki Minaj.
Of course. I'm Nicki Minaj.
I wish I was Nicki Minaj, but I'm just Steph Sabrah.
And I'm Kelly McInerney. We're going to talk about all the cameos. We're going to talk about Nicki and Tina. Let's just get into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah? Do it.
Ugh. Do we have to? What were your guys' expectations going into the finale? Were you...
Huge waste.
Yeah.
Huge waste.
That was your expectation?
No, that was my realization. After my expectation was that this would be wicked, wicked funny.
Mm-hmm. And it was not.
No, it was not. No.
Yeah, anytime, and especially like when a head writer comes back, you're just like, it's going to be fire sketches. It's also the end of the season. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, I feel like they are just kind of like, let's get to summer now.
Boning it in.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be really funny because I haven't seen her do her own bits in a while, so I was excited. I know she has a lot coming out, so it's probably not her main focus is writing a monologue, but the monologue really disappointed me.
Yeah, and that just set it up from there on out. You know, I watched that monologue and I thought, I can't believe they're wasting this talent. I can't believe they're going to just squander it like this.
Yeah.
And I kind of just like... dialed everything back in terms of like, okay, what kind of show is this going to be?
Yeah.
Before this, I watched, and I'll speak on this during the news and gossip portion, Dave Letterman's interview with her, and I was so pumped. And then, I mean, it was a good episode. I just think that they could have really done a lot
more. Way better. Well, she, like, when she was on SNL, she didn't really perform that much.
Yeah.
So whenever she's on, it's like, okay, but whenever she hosts it, it's always real fun. Like the last time, one of the last times with that period sketch, do you remember?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, one of my favorite moments with Tina, because like you said, when she was actually on the show, I mean, she started as a writer, then became head writer, and then started doing Update, and then, you know, and then like was in sketches a little bit towards the end. But I love the first time she came on to do a sketch. It was, I can't remember what the party scene was, but she walks in and Jimmy's just like, oh, hey, Tina. And she's just like, oh, I'm supposed to be Ashley Banfield. I knew I shouldn't do sketches. Walks out. So, like, she even knew, you know, like, she would poke fun at that, too. Mm. But, yeah, when she comes back to host, she's always great and everything. But just let me down. She didn't, because she is a queen.
Oh, yes.
She was great. But just the writing, where was it? We don't know. Just like the cold open, like, do you guys get the reference? It's a Sopranos finale. So... I was so excited about it because that's where I get my Easter candy, that restaurant.
Really?
Yeah. And I was like, oh, are they going to shoot Trump or something? Like, what's going to happen? And it just was like, this? That was the end? I looked online, though, and it says that this might be like a thing to, like, Alec might not be doing Trump anymore. So this might be his series finale as Trump.
Oh.
I'd be down for that. I also just appreciated, too, because I can't remember if it was last week or the week before, but they made the Corleone reference, too.
Mm-hmm.
So I like the whole like kind of mob mentality that they're doing with like the Trump stuff.
Yeah.
I just think the jokes in here could have been so much stronger instead of just like, oh, getting ready to go to jail. Like, that's all they have Ben Stiller do whenever he comes on to do to Cohen. So I think that like how they did everything was perfect. As far as just, like, matching up to that Sopranos episode. And even down to, I think, the little details of Eric Trump pulling up, like Meadow was when she was parking her car. But he's in his little, like, toy little car thing. Or whatever. Yeah, yeah, it could have been a lot funnier, but I liked what they were trying to do in it. Mm-hmm.
So I thought Kate just stole it. She was the only good thing there. And, of course, when he backs up with his big wheel, little wheel, whatever. That was so short. So really, I thought she nailed it, and how she does her impression so fantastic. And she does that funny things with her hands, like not just the left hand that has an issue, but she did that thing with her right hand when she had like the curled up left hand, and she was like, I'm thinking. I mean,
she was just like, after something, she just kind of like put it here.
Statuesque herself, yeah. But ultimately, I thought, like, where's the end to this? They just went, like you said, like that, and then they were like, okay, live from New York. I mean, there wasn't even a segue into the...
It was such a weird cut, too.
Well, that's the cut that they used in the end of Sopranos, too, though. Yeah. Like, that last cut and, like, Mueller being the guy who, like, was in the restaurant that Tony thought was there to, like, kill him or kill his family or whatever.
Yeah.
And then that last cut at the end. So that's why I really liked what they did in it. I just wish that the jokes were better in it. Because I was just paying attention more to, like, oh, this is so perfect. It's exactly like it. And, of course, Mueller's the guy that he's scared of. And he's like, oh, my God, am I actually seeing him? Like, great. But then every joke let me down in it.
Yeah. And I feel like they should have combined the other... the one with Sarah Palin sketch later in the night with Omarosa and Kelly and Conway and all of them. They should have combined the two, I feel like, to make it the cold open and then inserted the Nicki Minaj Haim video.
I agree.
Yes.
Well, let's talk about that. I think that was like the best sketch and it wasn't even on. Mm-hmm. It was like a parody of Haim and Nicki. Because that's one thing I was so excited for, to see her in a sketch, and they didn't even use her. Yeah,
it's pointless.
Yeah.
Another waste, I thought, right?
And it was so good. It was a very catchy song, too. If you guys, if you haven't watched it, look up the Cut for Time sketch with Nicki. And, it's basically just they're at a bar, and they're, like, just dissing on everyone. So, of course, who better than Nicki to come in and do a verse of their sisterhood bonding over...
Yeah.
Over that. But yeah, check it out if you guys haven't.
It's hilarious. Really
good. Yeah, it's called Friendship Song. So let's talk about that, the monologue that everybody hates. It was a funny idea in that, like, she answered the question of being like, they think that you're using too many, SNL's using too many celebrities. Is that true? Yeah. But then they proceed to do that. I thought it was I kind of liked it, because it was different than what the other monologues are. So it was like a nice refreshing pace. I am kind of bummed that they didn't use Tina's talents. Like, they could have used this for somebody else, like a sports person that can't act or whatever.
Yeah.
But to use her, and they brought out like Jerry Seinfeld, Benedict Cumberbatch, Chris Rock, Fred Armisen, Anne Hathaway, Donald Glover, and Tracy Morgan, which was great.
Yeah, I love seeing him.
See Tracy.
Yeah.
It was just weird not to use her in any... Like, she doesn't even need to be funny. Her talking is interesting. And I feel like she has a lot to say, especially on this show with so much history. So, just seemed like a waste to me. But I did love seeing everyone. Like, I don't care about the cameos. I love them.
Yeah.
I liked getting to see them poke fun at themselves for the fact that, let your, actual cast members be in the show maybe every once in a while because they're doing so many celebrity cameos. So I liked that they did that. I loved this as a monologue for the season finale because it's just – but I don't love it if Tina Fey is doing your season finale because, like you said, Steph, and, like, everyone, you know, like, that we want to see her do – it's Tina. We want to see her talk. We want to see her shine in it. Mm-hmm. So I like it as a season finale monologue, but not for someone as talented as her.
Yeah. The royal wedding sketch, I don't know, I like, this is the start of all the sketches that were just like, I feel like I keep repeating myself every episode, oh, it's a funny idea, but nothing happens to it.
Kudos to the outfits getting done that quickly, like the Queen of England's outfit, that was crazy, because it just happened.
Right.
And then, another plus is A.D. Bryant as Elton John.
That was hilarious. The best. Right, that was the best thing in the sketch.
Savior.
Well, and the makeout scene. I did like the makeout scene at the end. I thought that was great.
And I liked the brothers' conversation. I thought that's funny, and they could have even made it more just about them, too, because I think they're both funny characters.
Yeah.
I think this, again, was kind of like you mentioned last week, Steph, that it's like, it seems like they're trying to put every cast member in every sketch. it was like it.
Unless
like,
you're Luke Null.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's exhausting.
Sorry, Luke. But yeah, it's like this was another one that I'm just like, wow, they are really just packing everyone in.
But then that means there's no storyline.
Yeah.
Because you have so many characters and voices coming in, you're just showing off different personalities, which is fine. One depends out of every on the 10 sketch yeah. or something, yeah. but you just can't keep doing it sketch after sketch and hope to keep engaging people.
Mm-hmm. I did like Kate as the queen, though, with Keenan, like, with his arm around her, and she was just, like, just frozen.
Once again, Kate always, like, bringing it up a notch.
Killing Kate and 80.
Morning Joe stung. We're not going to talk about it. Mean Girls musical. I don't know. This was another, like, what a funny idea. Nothing happened. I liked that Lin-Manuel.
Yeah.
I like that game of, like, yeah, but he can do it. Why can't I?
Right.
That was, I wish they, like, heightened that more.
Yeah.
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 It almost had, like, a Hamilton Mean Girls, like.
Right.
Because I know that Tina Fey is working with, I forget who it is exactly, but some of the people who worked on Hamilton for this play, so they do have that kind of connection. So, but I loved his ending line. I feel like this sketch ended good.
Yeah.
I did too. Right. I wrote that down as well. Like, okay, great ending. Even though he was like a side part to the skit, that really wrapped it up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think it was the best, like, overall, but I love that you can hear Tina's tone in it so much. Like, this is for sure, like, it reminded me so much of, like, almost like Liz Lemon, 30 Rock throwback.
Yeah. Yes.
And just getting to see her do her thing in it. And again, one of the reasons why I love Tina's writing so much, and you see it in any of her movies and sketches, whatever, you know, like, in Mean Girls, the movie itself, every single line that, like, she actually wrote, you know, because you can hear her tone so well. Yeah. And I loved the line that I buy shoes that can only be ordered in the back of Parade magazine. And they have a bag that holds your pills.
Yeah.
Like, again, like, it just paints such a picture of, like, the character of Tina Fey, kind of.
Yeah. So detailed. So I love that. So fleshed out.
Yeah.
So the sign of a pro, I think.
Well, you guys, real quick, do you guys want to have fun, learn, and grow in all areas of your life?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, for those of you who do, like you guys, we've got a podcast for you. Conversations with Maria Menounos podcast edition is hosted by our AfterBuzz TV founder and drops every Friday on iTunes. Conversations with Maria Menounos features celebrity and influencer interviews along with secrets and tips on how to be better in all aspects of your life. Like, SNL writers should, like, maybe do this.
Get to listening.
Yeah. From health and wellness to career, relationships, finances, and more, let our Maria be the big sister you've always wanted. Just go to iTunes and subscribe to Conversations with Maria Menounos for free. Be sure to rate, comment, and when you do, let Maria know that we sent you there, the SNL AfterBuzz panel.
Throw pops our way.
Yeah. Conversations with Maria Menounos podcast edition. Check it out. Also, real quick, since we're talking about, you know, writing and commenting and all that stuff, feel free to do that to our podcast. comment below with whatever you want. If you, like, we're starting to give out shout-outs to people, so if you comment, you might be shouted out, like these guys. Alto Keys commented, being
awesome.
We appreciate you.
Yeah, he wanted a chill hard with me.
Oh, yeah. He's the one who likes your voice.
Yeah.
I can't blame him.
I'm down for chilling. And Maudi, I think they commented about Keenan. Don't at me about Keenan.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I promised him that I was going to be able to pop a bottle of champagne. I cannot. Because it appears that he is never leaving.
Correct.
Unfortunately.
So you win this time. This time.
Hopefully this time next year we'll be singing a different tune.
Yes.
A way happier one. Because maybe he'll get hit by a car or something.
No,
Keenan. Not the commenter.
You're like, no, it's fine. I only want Keenan to get hit by a car.
Okay, for the record, I do not want Keenan to get hit by a car.
I love Keenan.
Yeah. So, no, I do not. I do not. He can move on from SNL, but no cars.
I don't want him to die. I just want him to not be on. Just lots of pain.
That actually makes me think of, I'm going to bring up Michelle Wolf every week, if you guys haven't noticed. Yeah. But that makes me think of the Michelle Wolf joke in the correspondence speech when she was saying that she just wants to see Kellyanne, like, get, like, have her be in the forest and a tree fall over on her. Oh, yeah. And she's like, no, I don't want her to get hurt, though. I just want her to get stuck. So that's, you just, maybe he'll just get stuck for a little while. Yeah.
So good.
He'll be fine. Don't worry about him.
Somebody I don't want to get stuck and I want to see more often, Nicki Minaj.
Yes.
Wow, what a breath of fresh air from this garbage episode, you know?
She's so good.
Oh, my God. So, first of all, I love the digital that she did behind. So the videos, I thought, were just a great...
for the second song.
And the first, too.
She does that a lot. I love it when she does that.
And I loved how she riled the crowd. She was like, make some noise to you. I mean, she was in. She performed. Mm-hmm. She did. I mean, I guess she performed to the camera as well, but she really performed to that crowd.
Yeah.
And I just loved her for it. And I love how she comes on stage and she's so unapologetic. And then those outfits, man, they're wonderful.
Yeah. You know. There is some controversy about Chun-Li. Chun-Li. They're saying it's cultural appropriation.
It's a Chinese anime character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We have a resident Asian.
Yes. I'm speaking as a 25% Japanese woman. I'll just go ahead and take the conversation. I deem it not that offensive. It might be more offensive if it was a white woman doing it. But I think that I don't think it's that offensive in general. And I think that Nicki has always respected the culture and kind of plays tribute to it, but then I don't want to speak for everyone, but I'm going to. I think she killed it. I love this song. She's a professional. Every time she comes on any stage, she owns it. Mm-hmm. And I love that her promos with Tina Fey that you guys should see anyways because they're funny, and they're announcing that they're doing a feature film together called Get Your Life Ugly. So I am so excited for that.
Yeah, me too.
Is that for real?
Yeah.
Oh, dang.
I think so. It's on Nicki's Instagram. It's on the SNL Instagram. I think they just didn't talk about it because of the play.
Okay.
But I hope so.
That'd be cool.
Yeah. I mean, talk about two, like, forces just coming together.
And pretty opposite forces, really. So that mashup's going to be great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I thought she was great. She just kills. I do like Elizabeth, I like when she rattles the audience.
Yeah.
That's what Cardi B did, too. Like, I like when they talk to the audience.
Yeah.
Because they're there, you know. It's not just for TV.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
But I don't know why she brought in Playboi Carti. For the second song. I know that's she has a really good feature, but she could have just done it without him. I feel like she's so big time that my only problem with Nicki is she continuously puts like younger men on, like Lil Uzi Vert and now Playboi Carti. And it's like, why don't bring like a girl, like a woman up? I don't know. That's and he sucked.
I thought so too. Yeah. He went on so long, and I was like, is she coming out?
I know. Like, I just kept being like, Nicki, where are you?
Nicki, where are you? Exactly. He was very excited, though.
Yeah, she had to tell him to back up and then replaced him behind her.
Yeah. Weekend update. I thought there was a few funny jokes in it. Like, I liked when Che was like, this is the first time a black man is, like, rooting for the feds.
Oh, yeah. I thought they were really funny.
Yeah.
So I have to say, as much as I like Colin and Che, I really have come to love Alex and Mikey together. They seem to really have their groove on. And as we go towards the end of the season, I just felt like, oh, they've nailed it. They really have their rhythm, and they themselves are a unit to be reckoned with. And because to me, when they're in makeup, they look so similar. It's like hard for me to tell them apart sometimes when they're both in a wig. I just think they play off each other really well. So I thought they were great, and I thought they stole the show this time.
I thought they, as Eric and Don Jr., they were way better than the other guest.
Shasher.
Yeah. Played by Keaton.
Yeah.
Bishop Michael Curry. I was
from Chicago. Yeah. Just saying.
I liked when he ate the Play-Doh.
Yeah.
That was and I loved the end where they said all the jokes that they deemed too...
I thought that was fun, too.
That was great.
Too bad to air. And they're like, but we didn't say it. We didn't put it on air. We're just telling you. Yeah.
So that's actually super similar. The Groundlings does a Taking Out the Trash show once a year. It's at midnight. And it's every sketch that they were like, oh, we're going to hell for this. We can't put this on stage. And so it's like, they do it at like midnight once a year.
Yeah.
And it's called Taking Out the Trash. And it's this, you know, same thing, you know, of like the jokes that they couldn't do. But
they do this every year, though, don't they? Like,
I feel like they've started doing that.
Which I love. I think it's great.
I do wish they would start to do the Trump brothers in actual sketches, though.
Me too.
They did it that one time, and it worked great, because I love it every... Just, I could watch them do this all day.
I think they're so good.
Yeah, and, like, Eric just constantly mimicking and always looking to his right when he's, you know, like, always going the wrong way. Everything's so funny about their chemistry together and how they do it. But yeah. I wish they would take it out of this, too, because they've shown that they can. Yeah. So I want to see them do more. Like, I would love to see them do more with that next year, but...
Hopefully next year. Sarah Palin sketch. Yeah, I feel like we knew Sarah Palin was gonna come.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Was it, we were expecting better? Yeah, 100%.
But I thought this was the highlight sketch.
Really?
For me, just because everything else was so bad. It's not like I thought this was perfect or great. Sure. But when I saw the women come together, 80 and Cecily and Kate, I thought, okay, this is really great.
What did you like, just like all the girl power?
Well, no, just the fact that they're all nailing the characters that they all do really well.
Mm-hmm.
And they're coming together. They've woven these characters together in a sketch. And I thought that was a good idea because the writing had been so lame before. So they're taking all these powerful women, the characters they already nailed, bringing them together in one sketch, and then just kind of rolling with that. So and then you bringing in the Broadway musical kind of concept about it. I thought this one was clever.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think if they had, like, again, similar to the cold open for me, I liked the idea of it very much. I liked the execution of it. I thought just the jokes within the song could have been stronger. Because I tend to like musical numbers, if done correctly, obviously. But, like, I feel like some of, like, the jokes in it could have been better. But it was nice to see them all, like, in their character voices still singing, like, it as, you know, their characters.
Yeah.
And I just loved the line from Sarah that they opened with of, I was the first female on a Republican presidential ticket, and now I get paid to tweet for Bass Pro Shops. Yes. Again, like, the specifics in that joke are just so great.
Good. Yeah.
It was more interesting to me because, and you guys should really watch this Dave Letterman interview. She talks about the making of this of Sarah Palin and how like they would stay up all night to get the writing perfectly and do things that were all true but elevated, which is kind of what we've talked about. And it's it's cool to see like she created one of the best characters ever. I mean, she won like one massive comedy award from it.
And so much about that was her physical matching of Sarah Palin.
Yeah.
So she's a little bit blessed in that she already kind of looks like her. And then she went out of her way, not just with the clothes and the makeup, but her mannerisms and to get that voice. And so she physically really embodied that character so well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they really did find such a better way to do that than they are with Trump. Because like you said, it was still like they were still like half the time it was almost like verbatim. They would have an interview, but they found those little things, those little tweaks that they made to like put their point of view on it or put their spin on it. Whereas with Trump, it's they haven't really been able to do that. And I think he's on a whole other level too of crazy. So I mean, I guess maybe
I think the problem for me, and maybe I'm going back in time and not remembering correctly, but when I think of, and again, I might have this wrong, when I think of Tina doing Sarah Palin, she would do Sarah Palin, but they would take it out of politics. And they would say like, okay, what is this crazy mom who's a right-wing gun owner doing when she goes shopping? Or they would take it out, whereas Trump just stays in politics. Like nothing is happening. You're not creating any new scene. It's just politics as we know it that we all got from the New York Times or
I don't know. I think a lot of the Palin sketches were just politics stuff. I don't remember her being out of like
but it was
a
just
regular joke.
Her.
But I think it's different because this is our president, and I think that affects us, you know, like, oh, this is the real, like, at least she didn't win, you know, this it was in the running, kind of, so it was still kind of easier to laugh at.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Whereas this is all reality, and he's, like, in control of our country, so I think that's it. I mean, I do think the writing, I think also she was not likable, but she was a little bit more likable than Trump.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's not hard.
Like she was funny and dumb, but not like mean.
Yeah,
and I think that's a big thing
about
it.
Well, she had no power either.
Yeah, that's what I just said. That
And it was with her. I feel like it was her, and sometimes the Hillary would come, and it was just a focal point of two people. Like going back to what we said in the beginning, it's not drawing in every single person that you work in the White House with.
Yeah. And I think every time that she did Sarah, she like took her own point of view, and even if it was still within politics and the sketch itself, she still found a way to almost, like, she was thinking of those things, you know, like you could tell, like, mm-hmm. how does Sarah, like, what does Sarah Palin really think about this? Or, you know, I felt like she always did a really good job of putting herself in that place. And then even if the sketch was just straight politics, that gave it something else. There was more fuel to it because she was taking that point of view, where I feel like Alec is more just doing, like,
I'm reading lines.
Yeah, I'm doing a Trump impression.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Also, I think Tina's more likable than Alec, too. There's that.
True. Yeah. Oh, I was with all the cameos in the beginning, too, I was so hoping for a 30 Rock reunion.
Yeah.
Because they had Alec, they had Tracy. I mean, Donald Glover, even though it's not like he was like a main cast member, I mean, he wrote and he had a couple appearances on the show. I was just waiting for Jane Krakowski or like Jack McBryer to come out. I was just like waiting. And it never happened. Yeah.
But
maybe behind the scenes. I don't know. Chicago Improv.
So I thought this was super funny.
Yeah, I thought this was a funny idea, but then it was just like the jokes could have been better. Like, improv is hilarious to make fun of. Coming from a stand-up comedian, we tear that down. It's so fun to make fun of it. And it just could have done so much more. I did like the reviews and stuff, like from Improv Magazine, Too Much Improv. Mm-hmm. What did you get? So you liked it a lot. What?
Well, a lot would be a stretch. I liked this sketch. I thought they could have done a lot more with it. It just felt that everybody was tired, maybe from a long season, because the concept was there where you're pulling in Dick Wolf, already making Chicago PD, Chicago Fire, Chicago MD. Why not Chicago Improv? Because what else is the city known for?
Yeah.
So even though it's supposedly third in the comedy market, but so many comedians come out of Second City, which is where I have a little gossip on Tina, which is where Tina started, Chicago Second City. So they've got all that, you know, Harold stuff and all the improv jokes and how, you know, people get jobs and they're kind of jealous and all the infighting that can or cannot happen. But it just fell flat a little bit because of the energy, I thought.
No excuse, though. Like, you can't have no energy for SNL. No, but
that's
SNL.
What I'm saying. Yeah. That's what I'm saying is that I'm not giving it as an excuse. I'm just saying, like, it just wasn't there. Like, they didn't seem that into their own sketch. I don't know.
See, I think this was a good example of one of those times when, like, when they have this great idea that it's a funny universal sketch to people. Like, if they're not that familiar with improv, they can still find this funny. It's not going to be amazing to them, but anyone who knows the little specifics of, like, different improv things, like, yeah, mentioning a Harold team, or, like, what were some of the... Oh, whenever they would talk about, like, we're on a Harold team together now, and then the reviews afterwards being, like, New York Times says, what the hell were they just talking about?
Yeah. Yeah,
I thought the cuts back and forth were good, but I like any sketch like this where it, like... And they're the tricky ones to write, too, because you are trying to appeal to everyone, but at the same time, you know, like, sticking those little golden nuggets in there, too, for, like, people who actually know improv, whether it's people who make fun of improv or people who actually do it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I thought this was funny, but, yeah, I agree it could have been a little bit better.
Some of the details, like, I just booked 2 Lou Malnati's commercials.
Yeah.
So you guys don't have Lou Malnati's out here.
Yeah, it's pizza.
So, so it's a pizza chain that, you know, that's like, oh, Lou Malnati's, oh my. So, you know, they went out of their way to bring in the details, but...
It was just weird details. Like, they could have been even more specific detail. Like, they could have used better details for improv.
Yeah.
You know? Like, they tried with Harold and everything and that one guy's name. But make it, like, Del Close or something.
Yeah.
You
know? I don't know.
Well, also, I.O., gossip. Say F off about putting all the extra money into the Chicago one and letting the LA one die.
Yeah. But it's
dicks.
Yeah, no, it started, but I.O. started in Chicago.
It did, but it's been here for over 20 years, too.
Yeah. Speaking of I.O.
Don't worry, I can't go to classes there anymore. Don't worry. It's fine. It's fine.
At Second City, they wouldn't do Harold's anyway. That would only be I.O.
Yeah.
I think I have a picture of Tina Fey that I sent in to Brie. When she was 22, I think, right? When she got into Chicago. It was 1992. She came to Chicago after college, and she started taking classes at Second City. A very different-looking Tina Fey. She was working, a little gossip when she got started, she was working at a YMCA, and that was the job that she had to hold down her finances, was to fold towels.
Yeah, so, that's like her only job she's ever had.
YMCA.
Working at the YMCA, which is so incredible.
Like,
so,
I mean, not aside from what she does
being
now.
Like the greatest person
right, of course.
Ever. So little known fact, she actually just volunteered at SNL. She didn't actually work there.
Well, I sent it maybe about 6 hours
that's
ago.
That's okay. But, just yeah. Google young yeah. Tina Fey.
It, well, you'll see it. And she Tina. Looks totally differently. So.
She had crazy hair, though, when she first started on SNL. Like, she yeah. always makes fun of it on Weekend Update.
Well, she had more of like a tomboy look. Yeah. She was a lot heavier and so super short hair. And yeah, just a really different Tina Fey.
Mm-hmm. She's definitely aged well.
Yeah,
she has
that jacket at the on the monologue.
Oh my god, she damn. Looks so good.
I hated that jacket. Oh, I hated that jacket.
But you don't think she looked super good?
Her boobs she looked amazing.
Yeah, yeah. yeah. I couldn't even pay attention same. To her. I was just
oh, I hated that jacket.
Yeah,
I thought it was like so hello. Like 90s. She had like shoulder pads, and I don't know. I didn't like it.
Well,
if we're on, are we on the news and gossip?
Let's have Amy break down the scene.
Oh, yes.
And then we'll go to your news again, if that's cool with you. We have one more scene that we didn't talk about, and you're like, what is it? Hey, Amy, talk about that other scene.
I'm going to break it down. So I wanted to feature the pervert hunters this week, because I like to feature perverts.
Me too.
Also, okay. I guess maybe, no, okay, sketches, cool. We'll talk about the sketch. I thought this was just it was a solid premise sketch. You know, so you have the two different kinds of sketches, obviously, with premise being something that is focusing less on the actual characters and more of the situation, the irony of whatever it is. The like, hey, what if this happened, but then this happened. So the irony of a sketch and a premise, this was obviously premise, not character. But I think the setup of it was really good. The second they did the first cut, you're just like, oh, that's a funny idea. I like it. I like where they're going with it. I thought the chemistry between Beck and Tina was really great. As they escalated through each beat of at first just being him, like, really thrown off and still just, like, terrified to him starting to get into it and, like, being like, no, wait, can we cut? I can do a better one. Like, so going into it and then, like, with her messing up the line and being like, sorry, I was thinking about it earlier. And then laughing together. Like, it was a really nice escalation. It didn't really have to get crazy in this because it's already just a funny idea. So just seeing the character of Beck, this pervert, go from, like, terrified creep to, like, wanting to do extra takes because he wanted to get it right worked really well. And Mikey's always good as that kind of, like, buffer who comes in between every once in a while and... as the director. So I thought everyone in it worked really well together. And I don't think it needed a sharper escalation. Like I said, I think they did a really good job of keeping true to like the initial game and then just closing it out. So I enjoyed this one.
You just made me like it more.
Yeah, me too.
You're right.
Yes.
Because I was kind of unimpressed with this. It was like zero on the number line. Like, it wasn't great, but it wasn't bad. I liked the premise, but I got bored with the more takes.
Yeah, me too.
They kind of almost had a fourth beat in it. I think after they established the game, they could have skipped over the first time that he messed it up because they kind of repeated that.
Right.
So I think that could have sped it up a little bit quicker. Or if they did want to escalate further, they should have just done it sooner. So I think that was my only real issue with it was that, they didn't need to have that one extra little one in there.
Mm-hmm.
They could have just jumped right into it, especially because it's such an obvious, clear game. Like, they did a good job of establishing it. And then, they're just like, let me repeat it real quick first. And then let's get into more funny stuff. So, yeah, it did kind of take an extra second to get there, but...
Interesting. Well, thank you.
Amy. You're welcome. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Schooling us in comedy. Thank you, Amy.
Now, let's get schooled on the news.
Ooh.
What's that news and gossip, Stan?
TV news.
Okay, so there's a few things that all revolves around our queen, Tina Fey. She, if you guys remember the Charlottesville sketch that she did on Weekend Update.
Oh, yeah.
Originally people watched and I think they were like, yes. And then they kind of thought about it. And once it got backlash, you're like, yeah, that wasn't that. It could have been, I mean, it was problematic to a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And Tina Fey doesn't have social media. And during this interview, she was saying how she almost wanted to get a Twitter to go on it. But she's not into the culture of apologizing, which I feel like as a woman, that's been more of a topic of discussion that we're constantly apologizing for everything.
Mm-hmm.
And she turned it into, it's more like
she completely acknowledges that it was a mess up, but in comedy writing, it just happens sometimes, especially when it's the Weekend Update, you're writing literally right after it happens. So it, she compared it to being like a gymnast. The last, she just broke her ankle on the last two lines. So it was interesting to see her. I mean, it was really cool to see someone be like, yeah, I messed up and I tried to do better and I tried to make a good statement, but I acknowledge that. She also talked about, this was funny, I wanted, oh, she said that the jars of urine, which we remember there was kind of a sketch on this, but they took it to the next level this this season with, like, people pooping and peeing in the office objects. That actually happened in SNL when she was, when she was just getting hired there. And, yes.
People were pooping in their own lamps?
Yes. Or, no, they were peeing. And there was randomly water bottles that she would find around the building, and she was like, this is not acceptable, and even wrote it in her book Bossy Pants. Yeah, and right. I know she name dropped a few people and they were like, did you really have to name my name? And the last part, Dave Letterman asked a really good question, I think, and he asked what your all-star SNL group of eight people would be, and she said Maya Rudolph, Bill Murray, Amy Poehler, Gilda Radner, Jan Hooks, Will Ferrell, Phil Hartman, and Eddie Murphy.
Jan Hooks.
That's so she's good. Going back in the day. Yeah. She's like taking it back.
I feel like we should go around and say our top three, maybe.
Oh, mine.
It's hard, though. You can.
Dana Carvey, Amy Poehler, and probably Will Ferrell.
I think I was going to say.
Or Sherry O'Terry.
That's a good choice.
Yeah.
Kristen Wiig, Will Ferrell. And Eddie Murphy, but Maya Rudolph's like really in there.
It's hard to pick just three.
I know.
Why did you pick? I'm gonna go Molly Shannon.
Nice.
Amy Poehler. Will Bill Hader.
Yes, that's a good one.
Switch it up at the end.
I'm going to say out of deference, respect, and just pure talent, Gilda Radner for sure. And Will Ferrell. And I've got like five others. It's really hard between Eddie Murphy and I want to say Jim Belushi, but I...
John Belushi or Jim?
John Belushi, sorry. John Belushi.
Jim was,
or Jim.
I think he was on for like a season.
Yeah, he was. Yeah. He was. No, John Belushi.
Really impressed her during that season.
Like Luke Knoll this
season. Yeah. Oh, he did show up in this show.
Yeah, he did.
He did.
Time. An improv.
A cameo in the back.
He was there.
Oh, man. Let's talk about... overall, the episode was whatever. But let's talk about, like, predictions for season. That's the word. Next season.
I think so much depends on the politics, because as we know, like every day Trump changes his mind and we're going to war with China. Oh, no, we're not. We're going to war with Korea. Oh, wait a minute. He's impeached. I mean, you just don't know how it's going to shake out. So if he, you know, if something were to happen like an impeachment, I mean, just, you know, I think so much will just depend on where we are as a country.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, who do you think is going to leave?
I mean, I'm just saying, I hope we still have TV at that point.
Totally.
My prediction is I hope we have television and can still speak.
Oh my God.
I think you're going to see a lot more from Mikey and Alex.
I think
they're really going to like take a bigger role in the show.
I just hope I stop confusing them.
I know.
I really would like that because they look so much alike.
They do. Yeah, I agree. I think they're going to... Those two and Heidi. I think Heidi had such a big standout season.
Right.
Heidi was also in Life of the Party, which is a great movie.
Okay.
Oh, she's in there?
Yeah, she plays a big role in it, and she's hilarious in it.
Oh, dang.
She's going to take off.
She's totally going to take off.
She's going to take off. I would say Luke's probably, unless... I don't see him sticking around for another season.
I don't think so either.
I just don't see him getting the chance to be able to. And again, we don't know. I mean, how many, you know, he could have had a sketch every week that got cut and dressed at the last minute or, you know, whatever it is. Like, but I don't see him sticking around. I haven't heard anything on people actually willingly leave.
Yeah, me neither.
Leaving. But I think those three, though, Heidi, Mikey, and Alex are all going to.
I think Chris, too.
I was going to say, was SNL, I would invest in Chris Rudd and Heidi.
Yeah.
I feel like they're stars outside of it, too.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Yeah, they both had a killer season.
Yeah, they crushed it. I hope Melissa's safe because I like her, but they don't use her as much.
I think she will be based on not only is she just so invaluable with her impressions, but even like the one that we didn't really talk about tonight, the talent show, Latina, she still stands out in that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, like even if it's not like she's getting a ton of stuff on, when she is, she's standing out, you know? So I think, and she commits to everything really hard. So, I mean, again, depending on the politics behind and how much she's actually writing and committing to it, you know, but I think she'll be safe.
She's really versatile.
Yeah.
And I did, she ended that sketch so well. Because I didn't like it that much until that she started remixing it. I was like, yes.
Yeah.
Who do you guys want to, like, see host next season?
Ooh.
Norm MacDonald.
Steven in the booth says Norm MacDonald. He was fired actually from SNL, so I highly doubt he'll ever host. But
him and Chevy Chase can come back and co-host.
You didn't say logically, you just said who would you want?
No, I know.
John Goodman would be good to have back.
True. He was in this sketch.
He
played that guy that was fired. The politician guy. I don't know. There's too many politicians that got fired from Trump. Yeah, he would be cool. I would like Will Smith. I always say that every year.
I love him.
Will Smith.
Yeah.
Please host.
Oh, yes.
He's working on a movie, I think, called, I forget what, but hopefully that'll be out next year, and he'll host. I don't know.
That'd be so good. Yeah.
Worst prediction ever. What about Willow and Jaden together?
Oh my god. Gross. We would be sleeping.
I would
I think they're so darn adorable, but they're just not. I love their parents way more.
Yeah, of course.
I would actually rather watch Keaton. No, I can't.
Stephen Colbert. I tried. For sure. I'd love to see Stephen Colbert.
Couldn't even get there.
Stephen Colbert, that's a good one.
Ooh.
I'd love to see Stephen Colbert.
Especially because he started in Groundlings, I believe, or Second City, one of those, and he's good at sketches, so he should do that more.
He definitely started in Second City. He went to Northwestern and then went on to Second City, and I think he auditioned for Saturday Night Live and didn't get it.
Yeah. Just like Jim Carrey.
Right, Jim Carrey didn't get it.
He saw a guy trying to commit suicide on the roof. Of the same day as the SNL audition, he's like, I don't think this is going to be a good day.
Wow.
News and gossip.
Yeah. What's wrong with me? Why is his name escaping me? 40-year-old virgin.
Steven Carell.
He hasn't done it
yet. Yeah, he hosted a finale in 2000.
Like during...
Nine, I'd say?
One movie he was in.
Yeah, and he came on to host again after that, I think. Because I tried to see... that was the first time I sat on the street for SNL, but I showed up late for the ticket, and they wouldn't let me go in line, and so I caused a scene.
All right.
And they still didn't let me watch SNL. So to this day, I have never...
Is that a surprise?
to this day, I have not watched that episode because it's a sore subject.
I don't blame you.
Yeah.
I think some of the hosts that they've had that I'd love to have come back, who always kill it, Emma Stone, Amy Adams, Paul Rudd. I love all of them. I'd love to see any of them come back.
I hate Emma Stone.
And I know, but you're insane, so... you're great Emma Stone impression. She's always a killer host, though. You can't hate on that. She always crushes. But for someone, I don't. You know who I love, and I think she can do everything, is Julianne Moore. And I just want to see her.
Except a Boston accent. 30 Rock. Sorry.
I love Julianne Moore.
I think she would be great. Actually, when I was drunk texting last night, realized I tried to say, want to see Lizzie Kaplan, but I said Kissy Kaplan. But I would love to see Lizzie Kaplan, too.
Yeah.
And hey, Mean Girls.
Yeah.
Got the hookup through Tina. Come on.
Yeah. That's a great one, Lizzie Kaplan.
Man, I thought of one and I forgot it, so I can't remember it. Oh, well. I would like... Oh, here. This, I remembered it. I want to see the guy that plays Spider-Man, Tom Holland.
Or Zendaya.
Yeah.
She would be good.
That would be great.
Yeah, that'd be
and then they
one.
Should just have Donald Glover come back.
Oh, yes.
Like,
again,
at least three times next season.
Undress. Come back on. Undress. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
And on that note.
And,
happy summer, everybody.
Yeah, it was super fun. Super fun season. Until next season, where can we find you guys?
Hey, folks. You can find me on the internet, Elizabeth.
Elizabeth Alfano, and my interview with Moby is just out right now. Find it on iTunes and YouTube, Elizabeth Alfano.
Shocking. I know I lied before. I'm not Nicki Minaj. I'm Amy Maestri. I know. Sorry, world. And you can find me at Amy Maestri or at Nicki Minaj. So follow both of us.
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Steph Sabra. I'm so excited for next season.
Yeah, me too. You can find me, Kelly McInerney, on Twitter and Instagram at Holly Weirdo. KellyMacker.net for SNLs? I mean, SNL stuff. Stand-up stuff. And, yeah, see you guys next year. No, in the fall.
In the fall.
Few months. We know how time
Great
works.
Great summer, everybody. Bye.
Bye.
Executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff. We would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.